Let's go to Luke 24. Every problem that you can have in the sense of the metaphor that we're studying or the parable is that you're seeking the living among the dead. And you're gaining in that process of seeking the living among the dead. What you by definition do is that, and I hope that I'll get into this in a minute, but let me try to explain. The reason that you find no satisfaction, no sustenance, no strength, is that you are eating the wrong food. You are eating your garments instead of eating that which is the food of God. It's a trick that the evil one has foisted upon believers, that they think that they should gain their sustenance from their garments. And they always, in doing that, they inevitably, they seek for the living among the dead. They seek for that which is life from that which has already been cursed and is already dead. You understand? Now, my responsibility before God is to teach you, so that you can teach the people that are under you, that the futility of seeking the living among the dead, and the futility of trying to gain sustenance from eating your garments. Okay? Now let's read Luke 24 and see if we can see a mystery. Remember, I've told you that the peace offering was made daily. But it was a totally and completely voluntary offering. Therefore, the fact that it was made daily was dependent on whether that there was anyone in joy. Even in the midst of the worst condition among Israel, from the beginning of the offerings until the end of Christ, no matter what condition they were in, there was always a remnant that was able to make the peace offering because they were in joy, not because of their circumstances, but because of who they saw and what they ate as sustenance. Now, by God in heaven, if this must be the group that no matter what condition we're in, we are in joy and therefore can make the peace offering. The peace offering was the last one made during the day. It was the only offering of all of the offerings which the offerer, the priest, God, the priest's family, the offerer's family, and the offerer's friends, and the priest's friends got to eat freely and gain sustenance. You've been eating the wrong food all your life. When you were in Egypt, you were eating the husks from animal food. That's what really the parable of the lost, what do you call them? Prodigal son is about. It's about the peace offering. Since you've moved out of Egypt into the wilderness, and I'm talking to stealth now, you begin to eat manna, and there was somehow, no matter what happened around you, and in spite of you've maintained, you've continued, you've abided, and the fact that you've abided in spite of whatever the circumstances appeared means that you have been sustained by manna. But now, hallelujah, we have entered a new dimension. You've crossed over the line, you've crossed the Jordan, you're in the promise. Now you're all confused because there's no husks to eat. There's no manna. And so you're trying to consume your garments. What?
I just realized that the manna stopped when we crossed the river.
Oh. That's what I just said.
Well, yeah. That's why I went.
Okay. So during any given day, all the time the offerings were made, even while the tabernacle was moving throughout the wilderness and while it was changing places, even in the promised land, no matter if they were attacked by 185,000 Midianites or if there were spies and sedition in the camp, if there was apostasy throughout, there was always a remnant that was in joy and therefore could make the peace offering every day, and therefore it sustained. It was the last offering made during the day. In the spirit, then, it was the last offering apprehended. The reason you have so little joy in your life isn't because Christ didn't complete his work, it's because you haven't apprehended his completed work. The reason you have so little strength and sustenance and satisfaction in your life is not because Christ didn't complete his work. It's because you have not yet apprehended his completed work. Your joy is directly, that's why Christ said that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full, fulfilled. Joy can only be a function of the peace offering because there can't be any strength, sustenance, satisfaction without food. It's stupid to eat your garments. Really stupid. Okay, now let's look at the resurrection a minute. The day of the resurrection. Let's study it. See if we can see a mystery here. Because we know what was going on in the temple. Therefore, we can be reasonably well assured what was happening in the temple while other things that Christ was doing were taking place. Got it? Right.
Would you say again, like the shorthand sentence version of what it means to eat your garments? Gain sustenance
from your service, your activity, what you've given up, your whether or not if you're a teacher, whether anybody believes you or not, or hears you, if you have any, whether or not you have anybody in your Bible study or not.
Garment is just an outward appearance.
Huh? Yeah. Garment is how it's going in God.
Outwardly.
So it's sort of like eating a Babylonish garment.
Well, it's whatever you got. I mean, it's whatever, when you're starving, you eat anything. Yeah. I forgot to tell you one other thing you've been eating. Never mind. When you gain satisfaction from your righteousness, you're eating menstrual rags. Understand that? We've got two Levites that are severely guilty. You missed. Okay. Everybody got a basic, if you don't understand this, the little basic stuff that we've talked about, you got to understand this before we can proceed in the peace offering. You got a little handle on it. It's the only offering that the offerer and his friends and his family could eat on. And it promised satisfaction because man in Christ, that's what it means to be in Christ. It's stupid to think about being in Christ unless you understand you're in Christ as he's making these offerings. As he is being satisfied, so then you are satisfied. I don't give a shit what your condition is. You better understand that by now. I don't care about your little plans, your little dreams, your little ambitions. I don't care about all that because it's the wrong food. And I'd be sinning above sin if I allowed you to feed on that food. Now it's time. Every once in a while, you've got a little crumb here and there. You thought it was, this is it. You've been crawling around under the table like a bunch of dogs satisfied with the crumbs. Now God says, pull up a chair. It's time to eat. It's time to feast. It's time to be sustained, not praise for a minute and sorrow for a year. Not confusion, not understanding for an instant and confusion for the rest of the week. Not understanding as you're sitting here in Bible study, you walk out and 5 minutes later you're killing your neighbor. The reason you do all that is because you have to try to get sustenance. You have to try to, and you'll kill people, you'll eat them, you'll do whatever is necessary. It's cannibalism, mass murder, you'll do anything to have sustenance. Some of you even tried to eat this old body. That's really dumb. Do you have at least a basic understanding of what peace offering is about? What?
Yeah, I was just thinking about whatever I've been eating is, you know, just leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Right. Right. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus. Now this was early in the morning, as the dawn was breaking. Christ didn't arise at dawn. These stupid Easter sunrise services are Babylonish in nature. Christ arose the minute the sun set, the previous night. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Aren't you sick of walking into a tomb and finding out he's not there? That's all you've done, some of you. You spent your life in a graveyard among the mausoleums. Am I in the Muslim? The Muslim mausoleums. Maybe you look around and say, oh my God, he's not here, son of a bitch. Oh, poor me. What am I going to do now?
I heard he would be here.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I'm late.
I've been abiding all this time. I've been painting gravestones. I've been heroically abiding. There's two of you that have been heroically abiding. You're right. We haven't even started yet. Aren't you tired of looking in the graveyard and abiding in the graveyard? Living in the mausoleums? I won't tell you what you've been drinking. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, praise you, God, I'm bowing down my face in the graveyard, abiding. I've been doing this for a long time.
I've even tried to wash people's feet in the graveyard.
Ooh, now.
Ooh. I saw that one.
And I've been so... I mean, you don't understand what I've given up to get here to the graveyard. But besides that, you don't understand how bad Ole is.
Yeah.
Thou only knewest.
Here in the graveyard.
How bad is we gotta see it?
And besides that, my carburetor broke and I need a new car. And I don't like my job. Here in the graveyard. And besides that, I've been looking for a wife in this graveyard for 12 years. And I've been trying to lose weight in this graveyard, son of a bitch, and it just doesn't work. And I've been, oh man, I gave up everything. Now he wants me to give up smoking. And it's not footnoted properly here in the graveyard. And the angel stood by, watching for 14 years, laughing his ass off. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. As they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hallelujah. He's not here. He's risen. Where? Where is he risen? I'll go there. I'll go to a seminar. I'll go to Bible college. I'll even live in the Body of Christ USA. Body of Christ America. Can you believe that? Have you ever thought about that? If you live in Corpus Christi, you're living in the Body of Christ America. The Body of Christ Texas.
Sounds like a truck stop.
I know.
It is.
He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet with you in Galilee? Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And then remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. That's not really a good translation, because it means something that you can't possibly, you know, idle seems foolish. That's not what they believed. Their words seemed to them as an impossible hope, as something that may have happened, but it wasn't for them. You understand? And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them, remember this is Passover, they had to live within a certain distance. They're on the road to Emmaus. What?
Nothing.
And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus. The proceedings in the temple had been completed, and they were trying to look as normal as possible. Remember, because they all were fear, but there were millions of people in Jerusalem because it was the Jubilee year, and they were getting their land back. And now they were trying to be just as cool and normal as possible. These two, one of these two was the uncle of Christ, and the other was Luke himself. They were walking to where they had their residence at Emmaus, which was a suburb shortly, a little ways outside of Jerusalem. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. Remember, now one of these guys is Cleophas, Jesus' uncle, and the other guy is Luke, the Greek physician who was a Jew, or had converted to Judaism, probably was a Jew. And they were there for the Passover. And they're two relatively prominent men, a physician, and it's fairly certain that the relatives of Christ were fairly rich. All right. It came to pass, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were... Jesus is the guy... I mean, these aren't the 12. You understand that? But one of these guys is the uncle of Christ. The other one is more than likely one of the 70. Now, the uncle... Well, that's good. Their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, and that's the one that's... Huh? No. Cleopas was the uncle of Christ. You can check it in John 19. Answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And has not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He's talking to Christ. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, What things? That's pretty cool. What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests, and the reason they used chief priests, they're talking high priests, there were two of them alive. One was Ananias.
Caiaphas.
Yeah, one was Caiaphas and one was, how do you say his name?
Annas.
Just
Annas.
Who said Annas?
No. I didn't.
And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, that it had been he which should have solved my problems, that it had been he which should have given me happiness, that it had been he ad nauseam. That it had been he which would have corrected my situation after the flesh. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Now, your Jesus would have wrapped his arms around you way back here. He would have put his arms around you and had comforted you, and he'd have gotten you a new job and a new car. Among other things. I mean, it's just easier to pick on Steve right now. Do you understand what your Jesus would have done for you? But you've believed in the wrong gospel. You've believed in the wrong Jesus, which is really not another, because what you've believed in was Tammuz and not Jesus. So what you've been doing in your sorrow in the graveyard is weaving hangings for Tammuz and weeping.
Yeah.
In the graveyard. But spending all your efforts painting the sepulchres. Gotta keep them painted. But that's not what Jesus did. He didn't put his arms around them and then comfort them. He didn't give them what they thought they wanted. He bitterly execrated them and said, "O fools, you fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Now, what you don't remember, as he is, so are we in this world. It's Christ in you, and you in Christ. "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." In other words, he opened up these scriptures to show that every word testified of him and his suffering. Remember, the highest that man could achieve, or the highest that spiritually we think we can achieve, which we've studied that we can achieve, which we believe that we can achieve, is the transfiguration. And yet, when Jesus was transfigured, and with him was Enoch and Moses. Who was with him? Elijah and Moses, excuse me. The law and the prophets. They spake only of his death. What an incredible thought. All right. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village." Now it's only how many furlongs?
Seven.
Three score furlongs. So he didn't obviously say, go through scripture by scripture and say, he said, "Don't you realize that which we have been studying, which you have studied for these years, is only testifying of me? It's not testifying of you." Now they had a glimpse of understanding. They had a little glimpse. They were looking at Jesus Christ with their senses. You understand? At this moment in time, in the temple, the priest was offering the peace offering. Now watch what happens. Someone in Jerusalem was yet in joy. I promise you it was one of the believers. They were offering the peace offering in the temple at this moment, while Christ is walking here with Cleophas and Luke. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. He just kept on going. But in the spirit, they commanded God concerning his son, and they constrained the living Christ. They constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Now watch what happens. The priest is making the offering in the temple at this moment. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Why?
Because once they had taken the bread,
Christ is all and in all.
Yeah.
They don't need the sensory perception, which never was intended. They don't need the ridiculous aspects of trying to create the kingdom of God on earth and all the heresies attendant to it that you are guilty of and all religions are guilty of. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened unto us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. The only time the feeding of the people is involved here is when the peace offering is being made. You understand that? And as they spake, what did they speak? They spake that he is known unto them in the breaking of the bread. That's the reason Jesus appeared to them now. And as they spake thusly, or thus spake. Now remember, the priests now are just completing the peace offering in the temple. Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Why in the midst of them, not in the midst of the temple? Because now he showed that by his appearing there, that which was a shadow has lost its purpose. He appeared not, the God of the universe appeared no longer in the temple. Why? Because he appeared here, because the Lord now is no longer worshipped in a place. He's worshipped in spirit and truth, and the peace offering has lost its purpose. It was only a picture. And as they thus spake, and they spake with the recognition of what had just happened, they knew the peace offering was being made in the temple. This was their life. As they spake that, they saw Jesus. And Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." It was no accident that that was his greeting. The proclamation that was made at the birth of Christ, which is sung in all these ridiculous songs and said all over, "Peace on earth, goodwill to men," is not what was said. He said, "Peace offering in earth." and good will, God will to them that partake of it. That was the proclamation by the angels. Peace in earth and God will or good will to them that partake of it. Not good will unto men. God doesn't give a shit about the holy race. I mean the human race. He cares about those that understand and partake of the peace offering. And therein is the goodwill. Not to these ridiculous people that are worshiping Tammuz. You understand? A little bit? I don't give a shit about your plans, your ambitions, your dreams, your problems. I care about you apprehending the peace offering, that you might be sustained by a bread that they know not of. We have an altar to eat that they have no right to eat at. Why? Because we are not looking for the kingdom on earth. We are knowing the kingdom, and we are partakers of it because we are seated in the heavenlies at this instant with the Father and have full authority to partake of all of the blessing and the inheritance now. Not looking for anything to take place. And we are sustained and strengthened and satisfied and can be in a position of joy and by our understanding of it, offer the peace offering daily. Hallelujah. No more childish, Babylonish maneuvering by our minds. No more eating of your own garments. No more eating of the husks of Egypt. No more being sustained by what someone thinks of you or doesn't think of you. Who gives a rat's ass? And if you're sustained by him in that offering, I promise you, your fear will be directed at the right place. Peace be unto you. A peace offering be made unto you. But they were terrified. They're not terrified of God. They're terrified of the unknown. They weren't terrified of Christ. They thought they'd seen a ghost. All their years and years and years of study were as nothing. Because the study and the knowledge can't bring you anything except that it tears down that which is false, so that you no longer literalize the parable. I can't teach you anything. I can only tear down the stupidity that you believe in. It's the only thing in the universe I'm good at. What? They were terrified and affrighted. It's supposed that they had seen a spirit or a ghost. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? Not evil thoughts. Why do thoughts arise? Haven't you yet seen the stupidity of your thoughts? Haven't you yet seen the stupidity of your usury, your opinions? Haven't you yet seen the stupidity of sitting around trying to figure it out? Be apprehended by it. Stop trying to apprehend it. Stop trying to use it. Just accept it. Let it. And in that instant of time, all the mysteries of the universe will be made unto you. Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? I bet you've read that 100 times and never seen that. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. And by God, every one of you must be able to say the same thing, because the people will see Christ in you. They will think you are weird. You are a sign and a wonder because you are not affected by the same thing that humans are. They will think you are from another planet. What? And When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy. Why? Because they haven't partaken of the offering yet. They haven't apprehended it, so there can be no joy. And wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any food? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Now he did eat before them in symbolism of the peace offering. From that moment forward, from the moment Christ ate the fish and the honeycomb, it mattered not what was eaten as the peace offering. Do you understand? There's no more need for the parable. Now, whatsoever you eat, eat with thanksgiving, and it shall be made unto you the peace offering. Not some stupid little thank you, Father, for this food. Sustain us for more Babylonian stuff. Let's sit around and pray. You've got your reward. People see you. All the idiots that pray. Okay, let's grant hands and pray in the restaurant so everybody can see that we're nice people. I'm going to nuke those idiots on the radio. They've got the reward already. Somebody saw them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms. In the Psalms there, it's the hagiographa, which means in the writings. The law, the prophets, and the writings. Concerning me. That's why we're studying the three-year cycle. So you will see all those words of the law, the prophets, and the writings testify only of Jesus Christ. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture. How did he do it? He did it by making them apprehend the peace offering. That's provided the understanding. They were fed. And their eyes were opened, and he vanished out of their sight. I pray for the moment that he vanishes, even the need for him vanished. That's why Paul said, get beyond the first principles of the doctrine of Christ, of repentance and of faith toward God and of baptisms and of the resurrection of the dead and of the judgments, etc., etc. These we will do. Let it go on to perfection, and this we will do if God permit. You can't get beyond those unless you have understood them, and you can't get beyond those, there's nothing to sustain you unless you've apprehended the peace offering. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. That's Peace Offering 102. Got a little hint? Can you see that we can, with a certainty, know, because of what we know about the law, that with a certainty we can know that they were making the peace, and we know also what time of the day the peace offering was made. It was always made the last. That it had to happen, that the high priest and the priest were making the peace offering the moment he fed those two. And it had to happen that way, because it fulfilled everything. Now we can see the peace offering is totally fulfilled.
had to come back and do that.
Amen.
Yeah. To finish the thing out.
When you said there's always a remnant making the peace offering, I was thinking about at the end of Habakkuk, where, you know, it's like everything's wrong, you know, the flock's cut off and all the stuff, and but he still said, yeah, well, I rejoice in the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, and on that, it's amazing to me here about that. It's every place all the way through here, all these events, it's always talking about suffering. It's always talking. Everything he opened in the scriptures was showing the suffering and how the travail of the soul was necessary. It's right there with the peace offering each step of the way.
Amen.
Amazing.
I read this part in 39, which says, "Behold my hands and my feet." I thought about Paul said,
"I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ."
Of course, I ever thought about that, like in what I do and where I go, and what my hands do.
Amen.
Wow. That because I never thought of that kind of.
That's good.
Being directed like that,
and even that testifies to the suffering.
Good.
Look at how I suffer.
Yeah.
That's what proves it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody understand? Can everybody say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Take it large person.
Take it very large.
Peace offering is good stuff.
Yeah, it is. And it's good. It's like this big chunk.
The New Testament. God, wait.
Nobody understands why all these little neat little things happen. Why
no.
Jesus popping up in
the
yeah.
Mind blowing one was that was his greeting when he said peace.
Yeah. Well, but think about what the one where the angel's announcing his birth.
Yeah.
He came to be the peace offering in that context. Peace in earth.
Yeah, if you can't let this cup pass me by, because my soul is sorely troubled, now for this hour came out.
Amen. But stop. Stop eating the wrong stuff. It's not sustaining you, it's not strengthening you, it's not satisfying you. It brings no joy. Who gives a shit about all this other stuff? The promise is, this is how you seek him first in his kingdom, and then all the needful things will be made unto you.
You know, it's like you do all this whining and moaning and manipulating and scheming to try and have the suffering be taken away, and it's like it's the worst thing that God could do would be to take the suffering away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be finished.
What?
Well, we're just talking about my shoes.
The girly mind shoes.
Don't eat Brian's shoes.
Okay.